Well, let me tell you something. My experience, I've known some sightless people in my life. And I met one unique one many years ago. And it was a woman who was probably at the time, say maybe 19, 20 years old. She had been born without sight. And an incredible story. I was just beginning to branch out on my own with music. I was starting to play some weddings and all back when they used to use bands, you know, instead of DJs. Nothing against DJs, but when I met her, she was playing an organ beautifully, beautifully. And we got to talking, and I found out that she had perfect pitch. You know what perfect pitch is? Perfect pitch means you could hear something and immediately play the right notes and chords that go with it. It's remarkable. Of course, obviously, she couldn't read music. But God, in his grace, even though she could not see, heightened her sense of hearing to that point where she was able to play music better than a sighted person who could read music. It was remarkable. And after a while of getting to know her a little bit, she would play some music. She'd say to me, "Tell me what chords they are." And I'd tell her, and I'd play some difficult stuff for her. And I said, "You tell me now." And I got them wrong. She got them right. So you encounter these things. And I say all that to say this. Sometimes we look at people and we say, well, they have a handicap. That's not the right word anymore either, but you know what I mean by that. And yet, many times they can see or hear clearly better than we can. Isn't that true? Well, I'm going to read to you this passage. It's a short passage. And if you can follow along with me. They came to Jericho. You say, who's they? Jesus and his entourage, the disciples and people that were following him. Jericho was a very, very, very wealthy city. Okay? And as Jesus and the disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which also means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. All right? Let me explain something about the culture on the outset, okay? And I'm going to do some comparing to last week. Blind men in the Jewish culture back then were considered, they were believed they were blind because of sin in their life, okay? So the religious people of the time would look down on somebody who's blind and said, well, this man did something, otherwise he would not be blind. Well, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. And so there's this blind man begging. Now, so blind men were looked down upon. Last week, we looked at Zacchaeus, right? And Zacchaeus was hated because he was what? He was a Jew. He was a tax collector. He extorted his own people. He was a criminal. And so we have another man who's an outcast, who's considered a sinner, and just like Zacchaeus was, and he heard the crowd. He couldn't see, but he heard. Now, remember at the beginning of the service, I told you that if I'm in a crowd, you talk directly to me. A lot of times I'm not going to hear you because I'm hearing impaired. Bartimaeus's hearing was so in tune that through the noise of a large crowd, somehow he heard the voice of Jesus. Somehow. He heard the voice of Jesus. So the only thing I could relate this to, how many of you have ever been to a sporting event where there were a lot of people and it got really loud, right? This was just as loud. There were a lot of people at this time following Jesus, his disciples, a large crowd, a lot of them following for the wrong reasons, to see what miracle Jesus might do yet. Many follow him for the right reasons at this point in time. And so it was a lot of noise by the roadside. Let me bring you on with this. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have what? mercy on me. You know, I look at this passage and I'm going to be very honest with you, okay? Over, you know, in the 30 years I've been involved in ministry, I was almost tempted to write an excuse book. An excuse book of why people don't come to church. And not to be mean or anything, it's just that I hear some reasons that I scratch my head, you know? And yet here's a blind man who somehow knew that Jesus was in the area and put it all on the line and cried out to him, Jesus, Son of David. Son of David is a key term here. Son of David means that somehow Bartimaeus knew that whatever Jesus was in his mind, that he may have been the Messiah. Because Son of David is a Jewish term that would indicate Messiahship. What do I mean by that? Because the Son of David is going to take over the throne of David when he comes back again. And so Bartimaeus must have sat outside the temple, or maybe somebody shared with him the scriptures about this Son of David who was going to ultimately come and save Israel. And Jesus is the one. Now, remember I told you that he was an outcast. Look how the people reacted. Maybe even some of his disciples. I'm not sure. But look at how the people reacted. Many what? Rebuked him. And they told him to be quiet. I don't think it was that gentle. They probably told him to shut up. You know, they probably said, you know, hey, you know, just keep quiet. You're just a beggar. You're just a sinner. But the scripture says, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Messiah, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus must have heard some teachings of Jesus or heard about them and had some understanding that he was the Messiah. I bet you by that he had heard accounts also that Jesus was this man going around who loved the outcasts, who invited the outcasts to come to him and follow him, to know forgiveness and peace and new life by faith in him. I'm willing to think that people told Zacchaeus about this Jesus who was going around preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Maybe he heard about Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. Maybe he heard about some of the other Jesus' encounters with lepers or whatever. And he came to a point in his life, probably through the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in his heart, where he knew that Jesus would love him. And he cried out to him, have mercy on me. What's mercy? I'm sorry? Say it loud, whoever said it. I couldn't hear it.
Grace.
Well, grace and mercy are related. There's a little bit of a difference. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve, okay? Grace is giving us what we don't deserve, okay? So if let's say after the service, you know, Tommy comes up to me. I pick on Tommy all the time because he sits up here. You know, say Tommy comes up to me and accidentally goes to shake my hand and steps on my foot. I'm going to feel that, okay? Mercy says I don't step on his foot. Okay? All right? Grace would say, I say it's okay and I give you a hug. But all Bartimaeus is crying out for is mercy. He knows what he deserves. He's saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, it gets even more interesting. Jesus stopped. Can you imagine? Talk about having good hearing. In that crowd, Jesus heard. He heard the call of a man who was an outcast. He heard the call of a man who was blind physically and spiritually. He heard the call, and Jesus, knowing that he was coming to the end of his time on this earth, headed to Jerusalem to celebrate that Last Supper, he stopped. So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you." Look at Bartimaeus' reaction. Throwing his cloak aside, oops, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I don't know how he did that. Maybe he followed the sound of Jesus' voice. Maybe some people helped him. I don't know how he did that, but he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Whoa. Remember the excuse book I told you I was thinking about writing? Now listen, theologically speaking, we know Jesus has all the attributes of God. He is God. He's God. He's all present. I know that. Okay? However, there are times where it seems like Jesus passes and is in the area. And Bartimaeus probably realizes here that he may not get another chance like this. And so he cries out to mercy. Jesus stops and he calls him and he says, "He heard me. He heard me." And he jumps up to his feet. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't sit there and say, "I can't come. I'm blind." He didn't say, "I can't come. I'm too tired." He didn't say, "I can't come. I don't have enough money in my bucket here." He didn't say any of that. He just responded to the voice of the Messiah. And he jumped to his feet. And he came to Jesus. I want you to see how Jesus responded. I love Jesus' questions. You ever want to do a good New Testament study? Study the questions of Jesus. Jesus, most times, answered a question with a question. That's the parables are a good example of that, right? He asks a question with a question. And the question is designed. Most people want yes and no answers, right? We're not happy with open-ended questions. We don't like answering open-ended questions that don't require yes and no, because you know why? We got to think too much, right? And I'll say to people, does it hurt to think? And yeah, it does sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, you got to ponder some stuff, but listen, it's good for you. Because yes and no answers can just be image, a show. When you have to give answers from the heart, that's much different. So here's what Jesus asked. Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? It's a reasonable question, right? What do you do? What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Reasonable request, right? "Rabbi, I want to see." Somehow, Bartimaeus knew that if it was Jesus' will, he would heal Bartimaeus of his physical blindness. And in this case, Jesus did. In this case. Okay? Now, listen to me. I know Jesus can do miracles. I've seen him do miracles. And he continues to do miracles. Well, here's where I disagree theologically with some people. I don't think we can demand that Jesus do something. We could ask him. But sometimes, and I don't see the entire picture he sees, sometimes he doesn't grant a physical healing for whatever reason, I don't know. But not only did Jesus grant a physical healing in this case, he did something much more miraculous. He granted a spiritual healing. Because Bartimaeus was blind spiritually. And now he can see, not so much with his eyes, but with the eyes of his heart, the one who forgave him. Your faith has healed you. I think that's an unfortunate translation, because I went to the original language, and the literal translation at verse 52 is, Jesus said, go, your faith has saved you. Saved you. In this case, Jesus chose to heal his physical blindness and his spiritual blindness. Oh. Isn't it ironic that on this day it was the blind man who had the clearest sight? It was the blind man. Isn't it ironic that it was the beggar who knew that no matter how much money he received begging, he needed something more? Because money wasn't the answer. Isn't it ironic that the blind man knew he needed Jesus? We all were spiritually blind before we met Jesus. See, God's solution for spiritual blindness is Jesus. I don't know how else to say it. It is Jesus, of course, in working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, who can free us from spiritual blinders and free us and save us. Forgiveness for our sin, past, present, and future. To give us new life, new purpose. Look at the last verse here. Immediately, he received his sight, and what? Where? He had no idea where he was going. He just followed Jesus. He didn't know where Jesus was going. Maybe he knew he was headed to Jerusalem. He didn't know why at that point. But he just followed Jesus. He followed the Son of David, the Messiah, who granted him more than physical sight, who granted him the payment of his debt in full to God, so he can go and follow Jesus. You know, he became a disciple that day. You follow Jesus, you become a disciple. He had OJT. You know what OJT is? On-the-job training. This was a double lesson. And listen to me carefully. Here's where the double lesson comes in. It was right before this that James and John were arguing and asking Jesus to give them a place of prominence when Jesus sets up his kingdom. Lord, I want to sit at your right hand or your left hand. After all, we deserve it. And Jesus put them in their place, saying, listen, in the kingdom of God, that's not mine to give, that's the Father's. Secondly, you need to learn that those who are least will be first, and the first will be last. And I'm going to show that to you. And Jesus comes across a helpless blind man and shows his disciples what it is to minister to those in need. You know, there are a lot of hurting people in our community, and people hurt for a lot of reasons. They hurt physically, they hurt emotionally, they hurt spiritually. Too many times, people look to the wrong places for relief. Isn't that true? We look to the abuse of drugs, the abuse of alcohol. Some become compulsive spenders. Some, you know, whatever escape, immorality, pornography, whatever escape, we look in the wrong places. Some of these wrong places are dead ends. Most of them are dead ends and lead to unhealthy relationships. I'm sure there are many more types of life challenges and trials that I'm not able to cover today. But if you remember anything from today, please remember this. When a desperate soul cries out for Jesus, he stops and he calls us over to him. When a desperate soul cries out to Jesus, he stops and calls us to him. Then he asks us the question, what do you want me to do for you? Tell me, what do you want me to do for you? You see, the blindness in Bartimaeus was physical, and in this case, Jesus granted the healing. However, the most important healing that took place that day was in the soul. That is the incredible miracle of the grace of Christ. Bartimaeus, when he met the grace of Christ, was in moral bankruptcy. You know what I mean by that? Our sin puts us in a bankrupt position with God. The debt for our sin is so great, only Jesus could pay it on the cross in our place. When Bartimaeus received new life, he became a disciple and followed Jesus with new life and new purpose. For those of us who've trusted in Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus lives in and through us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Often, the only time people in this day and age will see or experience Jesus along the way is when we choose to show them the love of Christ in deed and in word. Do you ever think of that? Most people in the United States of America who are on a spiritual journey choose not to enter the doorway of a church. That's a sad fact, and that's the day we live in. However, for those of us who have trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus lives in us. And so, as we go out into our world, whether it be work, in the neighborhood, school, we can be Jesus to others. And Jesus still cries out, or Jesus still hears the cries of people who need him. He is the one who can save us from our spiritual bankruptcy, because we were no better than Bartimaeus. Remember Matthew 28:19-20. Did I put that in there? I don't think I did. Okay. I had one of those hard weeks this week. Does anybody know what that is? Test your memory. Matthew 28:19-20. It's the commission to us. Go and make what? Where? In your world. Teaching them, Jesus says, all that I have taught you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So I have a couple of questions today. When we leave this place, and Sunday afternoon comes, Sunday night, Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, are we living for Jesus? Or do we just say Sunday's for Sunday and Monday is back in the rat race again? And boy, you know, that church stuff, that's good for Sunday, but it's not good for Monday. Listen, when Bartimaeus got up, he followed Jesus. When we go to the office, we need to follow Jesus. When we're in the school, we need to follow Jesus. When we're in the home, we need to follow Jesus. When we're in the community, we need to follow Jesus.